Our topic is avoid distractions. And the older I get, the more that I realize I'm not going to be here forever. Life is flying by. First part of life is like a train that's going uphill. You can't wait to get your driver's license. You can't wait to get married. You can't wait to raise children. But then there's a certain point in life when you seem to have crested the hill, and that little choo-choo is down the other side, and then time takes on a whole new demeanor. Wow, that went by so fast, and that went by so fast. And could we slow things down a little bit? You remember that popular song by Burl Ives? Lingering Sun, Stay a Little Longer by the Lonely Sea. Beautiful girl, walk a little slower when you walk by me. So the older we get, the more that we realize that it seems like it was just the other day I was in high school, or just the other day I was in college. Where did the time go? When you realize how fast, especially in the second half of your life, that time is flying, it should bring a sense of urgency. Focus. Our assignment has an expiration date. Our sojourn in this lifetime is not unlimited. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 57th chapter, 22nd verse, it said, one's material body is destined to remain intact for only a short time, and so it is called kulayam, subject to dissolving into the earth. Nonetheless, if properly utilized, it can be one's best friend. When one is immersed in material consciousness, however, the body becomes a false friend, distracting the bewildered living entity from his true self-interest. That was a text. And then Prabhupada writes here, our guru, persons too much distracted with their own bodies and those of their spouses, children, pets, and so on, are in fact misdirecting their devotion to the worship of illusion. In this way, people commit spiritual suicide, ensuring future punishment for failing to carry out the higher responsibilities of human existence. So our message today is that your hour has come. If you're going to reach your highest potential, you have to set your face. You can't be distracted by things that are keeping you from your destiny or purpose. You don't have time to waste, worried about what people think about you, worried about the economy. Your time is too valuable to agonize over every situation, respond to every critic, every negative comment, trying to convince people that you really are okay. These are distractions. Here's a newsflash. Everybody is not going to like you. Everybody is not going to accept you. Quit trying to convince people to understand you when some people are determined to misunderstand you. Some people don't want to be for you, and you need to be okay with that. You don't need them to approve of you in order for you to fulfill your destiny. The enemy, Maya, whose job it is to keep us rotating in this samsara, this wheel of birth, death, disease, and old age, she would love for us to spend time and energy trying to win someone over who's never going to be won over. The people that need to be for you, they will be for you. Krishna has already lined them up. People who will celebrate you, people who will cheer you on, people who will stick with you through thick and thin. But too often we're trying to convince someone to be our friend, convince them to spend time with us. Here's some advice. If they don't see the gift you are, if they don't recognize your talents, value your friendship, do yourself a favor and move on. No offense, but they're not part of your destiny. Now, don't waste another minute trying to convince someone to like you, to call you, to come see you. If you have to talk them into it, they're not for you. They are a distraction. Srimad Bhagavatam says, after the creation of the material world, these features appear simultaneously as water in its natural state before coming into contact with earth is clear, sweet, and unruffled. So the characteristic traits of pure consciousness are complete serenity, clarity, and freedom from distraction. And Prabhupada writes, the pure status of consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, exists in the beginning. Just after creation, consciousness is not polluted. The more one becomes materially contaminated, however, the more consciousness becomes obscured. In pure consciousness, one can perceive a slight reflection of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As in clear, unagitated water, free from impurities, one can see everything clearly. So in pure consciousness or Krishna consciousness, one can see things as they are. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Here's an example. Maybe it's a little overly mundane, but it makes the point. Stan Mikita, professional hockey star, used to get into a lot of fights during games. He stopped when his 8-year-old daughter asked him a very grown-up question. Dad, how can you score goals when you're in the penalty box? Scripture says, avoiding a fight is a mark of honor. Will you agree with me that it's easy to get into conflict, easy to get upset, easy to get offended, easy to want to pay people back? Doesn't take any discipline at all. But avoiding a fight, resisting the temptation, not taking the bait, not being drawn into conflict, that takes your face being set. The next time something or someone comes against you, ask yourself, is this a battle worth fighting or is it simply a distraction? That person who cut you off in traffic, is it worth getting upset over when you're never going to see them again? That coworker who leaves you out, doesn't give you credit, do you think that they can stop your promotion, stop your destiny? Many of us fight battles that just don't matter. They're talking about me, I'm going to go straighten them out. Well, guess what? As soon as you straighten them out, if you straighten them out, somebody else is going to start talking about you. Here's what I've learned. If people are talking about you, it means that you're doing something. Nobody tries to discredit somebody who doesn't have any influence. The reason that they're talking about you is because they see that you're a difference maker. The reason that you're a difference maker is they can see the gifts, they can see the influence, they can see the favor in your life. It is said the brighter the flame, the more the heat. So the greater the destiny that God has for you, the more the heat that you're going to get for him. The higher God takes you, the more visibility you achieve. And sometimes instead of celebrating you, people are going to get jealous, try to pull you down, draw you into conflict. Don't take the bait. It's a distraction. Keep your face set. Stay focused on your purpose. At this point, we have to say that you can't avoid every fight. As far as you can, try to live in peace with everybody. But it doesn't say that you're going to succeed every time in having peace with everybody. Why? Because some people don't want to have peace with you. Some people want to have war with you. In the Mahabharata, Duryodhana did not want to make peace with the Pandavas. The Pandavas and Krishna moved heaven and earth to try to achieve peace with the envious Duryodhana. They had been cheated of their kingdom. Their wife was kidnapped. There were various murder attempts on them. And in the end, they were willing to accept only 5 villages as a compromise in order to achieve peace. Duryodhana could have the whole kingdom. They would stay out of his way. So Yudhisthira, the head of the Pandavas, after doing everything he could, had to finally accept that while he and his brothers wanted to make peace with Duryodhana, Duryodhana was not going to make peace with the Pandavas. He wanted to exterminate them. So finally, seeing the writing on the wall, the peaceful-minded Yudhisthira said these words to Duryodhana. Due to you, this calamity has arisen, O man of meager understanding. Overpowered by lust, you could not accept Krishna's advice for peace. And for that reason, you rant and rave like a person deprived of his senses. What is the use of words now? Come and fight with all of your friends. Death awaits you. Life is too short to have peace with people who don't want to have peace with you. Some of your relatives, you love them, but you have to love them from a distance. Don't frustrate yourself by trying to make things happen that they don't want to happen. Now, that's not being disrespectful. That's being responsible with the gifts that God gave you. Now, I'm sure we'd all rather be peacemakers. We want everyone to be happy. We'll go out of our way, sometimes go the extra mile 150 times in order to make peace. But some people have their own issues. They don't even get along with themselves. So how are they going to get along with you? They don't like who they are. So how are they going to like who you are? No matter what you do, it's never going to be enough. They're always going to find faults. They're always going to be critical. And no matter how much you do for them, they're still going to try and make you feel guilty that you're not doing more. If you try and appease them, keep bending over backwards, spending all of your time and energy, all that's doing is letting them control you. You need to be nice, but do not get distracted trying to have peace with someone that doesn't want peace. I think you'll agree we all have small-minded people in our lives. They don't like seeing you happy. They don't like you rising higher, going places. This isn't about you. It's about the favor that God has placed on your life. It's about the blessings that God has put on you. Don't take it personally. Keep your face set. You won't fulfill your destiny if you're trying to keep everyone happy. I've heard it said, some people who make the most withdrawals put in the least deposits. They are high maintenance relatives, high maintenance friends. They expect you to be always there to help them. They expect you to encourage them, expect you to meet their every demand. But when you need something, guess what? They're never around. They're too busy. If that friendship is one-sided, they're doing all the taking, they're doing all the withdrawing, and none of the giving, not making any of the deposits. So you need to make a change. It said, quit swimming across an ocean to be good to someone who won't cross a puddle to be good to you. If they get offended because you don't meet every expectation, they were not a true friend. They just want you for what you can do for them. These are distractions. You need to break away, get distance from people like that. You're not created to be controlled by others and never have any time on your own to pursue what God put in your heart. Well, Drew, what if they get upset? What if I hurt their feelings? I would rather disappoint a few people than disappoint God. And when you come to the end of your life, you will not have to get an account to people of what you did with your time, your talents, and your resources. You will have to give that account to God, who gave you those talents and abilities and resources in the first place. Now, don't go through life trying to please everyone. If you try to keep everyone happy, the one person who won't be happy, it's going to be you. Come out from under that. Be nice, go the extra mile, but don't live your life as a people pleaser. I'm not saying to be selfish, I'm not saying only think about yourself, but don't take a false responsibility thinking that you have to make everyone happy. If someone's controlling you, it is your fault, not theirs. It is your fault for not putting your foot down, for not making a change. This is your hour. You cannot reach your destiny dragging other people along, trying to keep everyone happy. I know people who spend more time worried about what other people think of them than they do pursuing their own dreams and their own goals. Now, many of our talks about how great it is to be free from addictions, how great it is to be free from depression. But our subject matter today is that one of the greatest freedoms you can get is to be free from people's opinions in general. Seems like everybody wants to express themselves. With social media especially, there are more opinions than ever before. People will tell you what to wear, tell you how to raise your kids, what you're doing wrong, and what to drive. They're quick to tell you how to run your life, and my guess is, most of the time, they don't even know how to run their own lives. Now, it's good to take advice. It's good to listen to wise counsel. But in the end, nobody else can hear what you hear on the inside. Other people may mean well, but they don't know what Krishna or God put in you. They don't know the gifts, the dreams, the callings, the plans that he has. There has to be in each and every one of us a boldness that we're determined to become who Krishna created us to be. You can't do that and at the same time worry about what everybody thinks. If someone gets offended because you're striking out for your destiny and not taking their advice, that's their problem. If you live by the opinion of others, you're never, ever going to become who you were created to be. Why not? Because everybody's trying to put you in their box. They're trying to make you who they want you to be, not who God created you to be. You might have heard this story before. There was a grandfather, and he and his small grandson were taking a trip to town with their donkey. So they started off letting the grandson ride the donkey, and the old man was walking alongside, and somebody passed by and said, "Look at that selfish little boy making that old man walk. Where's your respect for elders?" So the old man took the boy off, and then he sat on the donkey, and the boy was walking alongside. A few minutes later, someone passed by and said, "Look at that man making that little boy walk while he rides." So he picked the boy up and put him on the donkey with him. A few minutes later, somebody said, two of you, placing that heavy load on that poor donkey. So as you might have figured out, by the time they finally got to town, the grandfather and the grandson were carrying the donkey. And the moral of that story is everybody has a right to their opinion, and you have a right not to take it. No matter what you do, there's always going to be somebody who doesn't understand. Are you carrying the donkey? Are you being pressured into doing what people want you to do? You don't want to disappoint anyone? It's time to put the donkey down. The donkey doesn't look good on you. Start running your own race. Start following what Krishna put into your own heart. Nobody can hear God's direction for your life better than you. God's not going to give someone else more insight into your destiny than he gives it to you. Some people may see things, but God speaks directly to your spirit. Some people won't understand that. They'll think they know better. They'll get upset when you break out of their box. But I'm here to tell you that God, or Krishna, just look at him there with a mischievous smile on his face, flute to his lips, standing in a threefold bending way with that mischievous glint in his eye. He's a progressive God. He's not an old stick in the mud. He's not a stuffy God. He always likes to do new things. And he doesn't want his devotees to get stuck today in what he was doing yesterday. He doesn't want you to get stuck in the past. He doesn't want you to get stuck in what they call tradition. Now, you have to set your face. This is your hour. There's greatness in you. Lord Krishna is calling you out of the ordinary, calling you out of what you're used to. He has things in your future that are going to break barriers. You're going to go where no one in your family has ever gone before. It's going to be unusual, out of the ordinary. And there will be people who find fault, try to discredit, people who think that you're missing it, and that's okay. Nobody ever in the history of the world did anything great without opposition, without critics, without people thinking that they were missing it. You just keep your face set. One last story. Dhruva Maharaj was a pure devotee of the Lord from his youth. And then he became the king. So while he was the king, his brother was killed by a yaksha, sort of a wizard. Now Dhruva, he had to show his love for his brother, and he had to discharge his duties as a king. So he attacked the yakshas, and there was a pitched battle going on. Now, as you know, a king or an executive head receives a lot of honor. People bow down before him. He gets to live in a big palace. But when there's a crime, it is the king's duty to repay the honor that's been showed to him by putting his life on the line to punish the wrongdoers. A king who doesn't go into action when it's time is dishonored and spoke badly of by the citizens. Critics come out of the woodwork. As Krishna says to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita, "Akirtim chapi bhutani katiya shanti tebayam, sambhavasasya chakritya madanada tarichate." For one who has been honored, dishonor is worse than death. So Dhruva went ahead and he did his duty to silence any potential critics. However, during the battle, the killing became excessive. Dhruva got a little carried away. Manu, one of the progenitors of mankind, was commissioned by the sages to appear before Dhruva and talk him down. This is what Manu said. "My dear Dhruva, please don't get too distracted by this battle. You've done your duty. You've protected your reputation and silenced your critics. Now draw a line in the sand, cease the hostilities, and return your attention to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, in your original position as servant of the Lord, with your face fully turned towards Him, put aside the distractions of this flickering material world." Manu wanted Dhruva to change his vision. Dhruva was at that moment looking on the yakshas as different from him, as enemies. When for a realized soul, nobody is a friend, nobody is an enemy. Everybody is passing through different types of bodies according to the law of karma. And as soon as one is situating as a spiritual identity, he doesn't see in terms of friends and enemies. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says the self-realized soul, Brahma Bhuta Prashanamana Sotiti Nakanchi, Sama Sarvashu Buddhishu Nasyachu Napranasyati. He sees everybody equal, everybody in terms of servants to the Lord. So Dhruva Maharaj was advised by Manu to cool off, to chill out, and return to that vision. He was specifically advised to do so because he was a great devotee and he should not have looked on other living beings with an ordinary vision. He was already a liberated soul from the age of 5 years. He had seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but for the moment, for the time being, he'd been afflicted somewhat by maya or illusion, thinking of himself as the brother of Uttama, thinking of himself in the bodily concept of life. And in fact, the matter is that we're all in this world distracted by the concepts of I and mine. This is me, this is my brother, these are my enemies, these are my citizens. And this concept of I and mine is the root cause of distraction in the material world. It is said that if one is distracted by this root of illusory conceptions of I and mine, one will remain in this material world in different higher or lower positions, revolving in various species of life. Finally, Manu concludes his advice to Dhruva. "Thus, regaining your natural position and rendering service unto the Supreme Lord, who is the all-powerful reservoir of pleasure and who lives in all living beings as the super soul, you will very soon forget the illusory understanding of I and mine and attain the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord in the very near future." Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari. QED, you cannot be overly concerned about what people think of you and simultaneously reach your potential. People try to squeeze you into who they want you to be. You may have to disappoint a few people in order to reach your destiny. And our question is, are we letting fear of what people think keep us from hearing the new things that Krishna has for you? What if they get upset? What if they don't understand? Quit being afraid of the people. Quit letting them squeeze you into their mold. Quit getting stuck in tradition. Why? Because Krishna has blessings that you've never seen. He has increase beyond the furthest stretches of your imagination. All you have to do is get rid of the distractions. No more living to please people. No more worrying about what others think. No more fighting battles that don't matter. This is your hour. It's your time. Make up your mind. You've got to set your face. You're going to become all God created you to be. You're going to go to where Krishna wants you to go. You're going to accomplish what Krishna wants you to accomplish. You need to set your face and avoid distractions. If you do this, you're going to see unprecedented favor. You're going to see new doors opening. You're going to see divine connections, breakthroughs, healing, favor, victory, the fullness of your destiny in this life. And in the next life, you're going to go back to home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.